However, in theory, we are live.
Woohoo!
Woo!
Hello, and welcome to Pack Tactics, a 5th edition homebrew D&D campaign setting. Tonight is episode 30. Yay! Well, that's a season 2, actually. So, actually, a lot more than 30.
Oh, wow.
And we got a single clap for that. Yep. That's how I feel. I'm okay with this. All right. Well,
I was refreshing my drink, so.
So it wasn't actually even a clap. We just heard the pop of the bottle opening. But never mind about that.
Exactly.
Yes. My name is Crash. Tonight I am joined by a bunch of awesome people, including we've got Ellie, we've got Io, we've got Jen, we've got Cindy. Archbeth is hanging out in chat as usual. And
actually, I don't see her having showed up.
Oh.
She did type live when we went live. Oh, and we got a smiley face.
Yes. Oh, the timing is just different than I expected. There it goes. Now not being from 10:17 on Saturday. Sorry, the stream chat was being weird.
Well, Archbeth is a mage, and she did cast Time Stop, so...
Oh, that would explain it.
Yep. So this is the point where I'm going to mute myself immediately after asking, what did you do last week?
We heard.
A rocket.
Yeah, first we got some bad news.
We cried. We cried a lot.
And then we discovered Fiddle Punch's tower is a rocket, and Marwise decided to try to lighten the mood by making snow angels in a metal floor.
Oh, poor thing. Yep.
Followed by trying to make snow angels in a metal ceiling.
Yep. And Aldine could see her house from here.
Yes.
Sort of.
And then we landed on a continent.
See vengeance from here.
Yep.
And then we landed on a continent none of us knew existed.
Mm-hmm.
And it has trees.
And that was what I was saying, about, because I used enhanceability to give Marwise advantage on constitution checks. Or dexterity checks, one of the two.
Mm-hmm. And Gox is apparently unaffected by changes in gravity, so
just kind of
there. Yeah.
Gox is a fixed point in space. And
yes.
Everything else moves around him.
Well, he is kind of scary, so, you know. Things move around him anyway.
And at the very end, there was an issue with plumbers.
Yes.
Which was unexpected, was very ad-libbed, and is 100% canon at this point.
Yeah. Of course.
Yes. Moving right along, Fiddle Punch is dealing with plumber issues, and while that's getting sorted, he's also going to... he doesn't use the words phone home, but the equivalent of contacting Lord Idris back in Coombridge, literally on the other side of the planet. But he has the means. He has the technology. He can do this. And working something out. His teleportation circle was damaged beyond expedient repair, shall we say, during your fight with the raiding party. But
right.
He does have his other teleportation circle, which is a little more unorthodox. So there are means of getting people to and from without repeatedly using the tower as a rocket. But it's going to require more effort on the part of the people who are arriving at the tower. Because, well, remember when you had to go to some strange gnome's lightning factory in order to use the other teleportation circle?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Not everyone has one of the mechanical ones. So that's going to be a little awkward until the other teleportation circle is back up and running.
So we're expecting terrifying fly people is what we're saying.
Possibly.
Oh, no.
We could get terrifying fly people. Or maybe we'll end up with the world's first half-orc, half-elf.
Interesting.
Call it a horf.
Oh, no.
My cat makes that sound right before a hairball appears.
Oh.
It is the verbal component for summon hairball.
Oh, no. Oh, my.
Yes. However, it is suggested that you do head out and scout around and stretch your legs, but perhaps try to keep a low profile because you're on a brand new continent. You don't know anything about it. You happen to have landed in a forested area because that's where Fiddlepunch aimed for, because it's easier to hide in a forest than it is to hide in, like, a desert or open plain or, you know, middle of a city. Hey, you see that tower there before?
Right.
No, I didn't. Wasn't there a bakery there yesterday? It still is, but they sell flatbread now. I just thought of that.
Here I was trying to figure out a way to say they're all out of raw dough.
Well, they couldn't raise the dough.
Yeah.
They didn't prepare that spell today.
No, they did not.
Oh, to raise dough.
I'm a horrible person. So,
that's,
you have...
That's why you never go to the bakery next to the crematorium, because they're always raising the dead.
Today, a fellow teacher at in my district referred to me as the bomb, and I said, that's why they don't let me in airports.
Nice.
Oh, well. So, you have been half suggested, half sort of kind of maybe gently shoved out the front door of the tower. You are in the middle of the woods with an invisible tower behind you. Don't forget where you parked.
Cox is not going to remember where this is at.
Into the woods,
so...
out of the woods, and home before
dark.
Into
the woods! There actually is a wonderful parody song of Into the Woods called Into the Words. It's on an album called Forbidden Broadway.
Oh. Nice. All right, so what do we see other than trees?
Well, give me a perception check.
I got a 12, and perception is plus 5.
Okay.
Zeely, can you give us an aerial view?
I'm not sure that's a great idea, but I'm going to climb a tree.
Okay.
Okay. Give me a dexterity check for climbing a tree.
Not athletics?
Actually, I would say acrobatics. And on one hand, the wings help you a bit because they allow you to be a bit more buoyant. But on the other hand, they get in the way of tree branches. So the advantage and disadvantage even.
Yeah. Athletics is for, like, climbing walls. Where I can see acrobatics for climbing trees where it's, like, multiple unevenly spaced parallel bars.
Oddly enough, most trees are multiple unevenly spaced parallel bars.
Yeah.
Except for giant redwoods. Those are just straight up.
Yeah, well. So you'd have athletics for like the first 100 feet.
So
13.
Zeely, I would say that you do successfully climb the tree, but you reach a point where you don't feel like you'd be able to go much further without risking looking slightly less cool in front of your peers. So you're maybe about 15 feet up, but the tree goes much higher than that. So you have a great view of down, but not so much out. It's possible your wings are actually getting in the way here.
I have a brilliant idea.
Let's hear it. All right. Zeely is going to sort of leap sideways off the tree and flap down.
I'm not requiring any roll for that. That's just normal movement for you.
Yeah. I am going to take out my lute and play the invisibility song.
That is a brilliant idea.
I'm going to take a wild guess at that you do not target yourself for the invisibility spell.
Yes, I'm targeting Zeely.
I could have been a jerk and said, Daldane is suddenly invisible. But no.
Well, even if you had done that, I actually can still cast it myself.
There we go. And to the answer of the question that Cindy asked in chat, what is the sound of invisibility? It is equal to the sound of one hand clapping, except there are no actual hands clapping.
Well, I always figured it was like a Romulan cloaking device.
That's a good one.
That would work as well. By the way, right, someone roll me...
Zeely is invisible and flying.
Someone roll me a D12.
D12? Okay.
Yeah.
6.
There you go.
Okay. Fascinating.
Zili is going to invisibly fly up.
Okay.
Zili invisibly flies up. Fascinating.
Well, I was looking at the result of the six.
Ah, okay.
Okay, Zili, when you fly up, give me a perception check at advantage because you have a height advantage now.
Okay.
I feel like for the first 10 minutes of being invisible, Zili is going to like do all the ridiculous loop-de-loops and barrel rolls that they always wanted to do but were embarrassed to in front of everybody else.
I have a feeling that Zili's already done that when in full view of everyone, just to show off.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Could be true. She may have taught the other little kobolds that have wings that at one point in the past.
Now I'm sad.
I'm sorry.
The first time Sox had invisibility cast on him, he used that to pick the pockets of everyone but Gox.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a 7 and a 3, and basically what I'm saying is 8.
Okay. So with this roll, I'm going to say that now that you are up above the trees and able to see for miles and miles and miles, you see miles and miles and miles of the top of trees. You know there's a forest here somewhere, but you just can't find it. There's too many trees in the way. No, that's a bad joke. That's not canon. But you don't see a lot of details up high.
You've got an hour, though, so you can keep patrolling.
All right. How far can I go before I'm out of range?
Out of range.
Range isn't an issue. How long does invisibility last?
Oh.
Concentration, up to an hour.
Oh, excellent.
Okay, so how far out do you intend to fly? Measured in minutes.
Let's start with 5 minutes out.
Okay. I will allow one more perception check, but not at advantage.
4.
Well, you're getting all the low rolls out of the way.
Yeah.
This is true.
And if I remember correctly, you have an innate sense of direction. That's one of the feats that you selected.
Not feats. It's my feature from my Outlander background.
Ah, okay. Well, that comes in handy because if it wasn't for that wonderful little tidbit of information, I would argue that you're having a hard time finding your way back. However, because you are you have the Outlander background, you just instinctively know, oh, by the way, that spot over there looks like it has an invisible tower. You can tell because that's where the bird just suddenly stopped flying and went straight down.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
All right. All right. Heck with out. I'm going to try to go a bit more up and look for a place that has less tree.
Okay. So you go up and up and up and up and up. And meanwhile, back at the camp, everyone else is just sort of standing there. Daldane is humming Girl from Ipanema again.
Actually, I'm going to be taking a look around.
Okay. Give me a perception check, Daldane.
Okay. The one I rolled earlier was 22.
Oh, well, then we'll just go with that one. You find footprints.
Okay. Now, are they interesting footprints, or are they... There were deer here footprints.
Or are they just goxes?
Yeah. I've been tracking this person for hours. They keep going around this tree. Their footprints are about the same size as mine. Oh my gosh, there's another one. These tracks are more fresh than the first one. That's horrible. I would only have you actually do that if you rolled a 1, I think. And even then, probably not. So, in all seriousness, you probably wouldn't have spotted these with less than even a dirty 20. They are quite old. They've been rained on a couple times, but they are relatively large footprints, larger than kobold, smaller than most dragons that you've seen. Actually, smaller than any dragons you've seen. But they look very much like they would be dragon footprints. It's the same kind of foot shape that a dragon makes.
Hmm.
And it looks like there were a bunch of them moving together of various sizes.
This including the very young dragon that we met early in the campaign?
Yes, okay. The very young dragon you met early on in the campaign was a bit larger than these footprints.
Okay.
They're all relatively moving in the same direction.
Okay.
But your best guess is, unless there's been a lot of rain recently, and you have no idea about the climate here, it was maybe over a week ago that these things were here.
All right. The next time Zeely circles back, I'm going to use the message cantrip to let her know about the footprints and where to look.
Okay. Zeely, give me another perception check now that you're up really, really high. And someone else roll me a
d12.
Oh, you've rolled a d12, yes? Someone did it. Okay, cool.
11. I win.
Hopefully the prize is not a dragon attack.
Zeely is just, not perceptive.
Sadly, this is true. Also, the entry on my random encounter table that counts as an 11 is very difficult to see above a tree line anyway.
Okay.
Zeely is coming back down.
Okay. A sad Zeely, but still filled with a burning desire for vengeance, but sad.
Yes.
Trees. I see trees. Lots and lots and lots of trees.
We're going to have to get sanctimonious on this, aren't we?
He's got a method for eliminating the trees, yes.
Well,
I have a method for eliminating trees.
If you have more invisibility, my boots aren't as flexible or long-lasting as Zeely's flight, but I should still be able to get above the tree line and scan for a bit.
So you're saying you don't want me to burn this continent to the ground until we find the things that are immune to fire damage?
Probably not, but we probably should follow these footprints.
Yeah, that sounds fair like enough. A decent plan.
Okay.
All right.
Finally, I might get to use my survival skill.
I'll go ahead and roll a survival check.
Crash, I have a question.
I have an answer. Let's see if they match.
So, usually when sorcerers have dragon wings, it's because they got their dragon wing ability. And this means you can hide them. Can I hide my wings?
Unfortunately, you did not get these wings through your dragon wing ability. They're just there.
Does that mean if I used my dragon wing ability, I'd get more wings?
Wingception.
So I found out today that in the D&D Next playtest, Draconic Sorcerers had, instead of sorcery points, they had willpower. And the more willpower they spent, the more like dragons they became.
Wow.
It's like sanity points in Call of Cthulhu, only you just became more awesome the more you used it.
Exactly. So the idea was you would cast your spells, and then you would become a melee character. Because you would get, like, claws and armor.
I can see why, like, one, it is neat. Two, I can see why they decided to not have that be in the final version of 5th edition, because that feels incredibly broken. It is so neat, it is broken.
Yeah.
And I say this understanding that every class is broken. All right, so what was your survival check? A 15, I think?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a few spots where you're pretty sure you've lost sight of the tracks, but then you spot them again later. But mostly because you just keep going in the same general direction and they don't seem to be turning too much.
Okay.
But eventually, you hit a rocky area and they're gone.
Hmm.
They disappeared.
Well, you don't tend to leave footprints when you're stepping over stone.
Yes, but Gox doesn't know that.
Zeely's typing. Ah, okay.
So, they were going in a straight line for a pretty long time. I don't know, maybe keep that straight line and see if there's anywhere we can pick up the trail once the stones end.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Let's keep going.
Okay, but you have to give me a survival check.
Who? Everybody?
Whoever's in the lead. Whoever
me.
Is
I vote Daldane.
Doing tracking.
No, Daldane's better at tracking.
Oh, yeah. No.
That's probably a natural one. I'm going to use my inspiration. There we
well,
go.
Well, you switched from a 1 to a 25.
Hey.
Definite trade up.
13 plus 12. Your bonus almost doubled your roll.
Yep.
Hi, and welcome to a high-level campaign, where even if you roll poorly, you roll well. Unless it's a one. If it's a one, I can't help you other than give you inspiration. All right. So with your 25, this is true, which means I can give it to you again at some point. Not right this second, though, before you ask.
No, next second.
No. Next, you'll be asking if you leveled up at the end of the session.
That gets asked a lot, though.
Yeah, pretty much every session. Mm-hmm. I love that it's a running gag. I do appreciate it. I'm not going to really complain about it for real. Only mockingly complain. So, you even with a 25, this terrain is bad enough that you're having a hard time with it. You do think you found an entrance to something, though.
Oh.
Yes.
I like entrances.
Yes.
They promise underground areas.
Possibly.
Can I roll a perception check on this entrance just to...
Sure.
Just because I'm getting paranoid.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
What sort of an entrance is this?
It's mostly overgrown with vines and weeds and stuff, but not so much that a kobold wouldn't be able to squirm their way through.
So it's a cave entrance.
Possibly, although with a 15...
Or a kobold warren entrance.
With a roll of 15, I would say that you notice that some of the stone in the area looks carved, like it was stone brick at some point. It is all heavily weathered here. And if this was, in fact, an entrance to something at some point, whatever it was an entrance to has been ravaged by a lot of time. It probably got knocked over long before the Circulian Empire was a thing.
So definitely significantly less time than the tiny dragons came through.
More time. Definitely more time.
Right, I get that package. So, yeah.
It's okay.
Dox, can you grab me a pretty big stick?
Okay. I go look for a pretty big stick.
Give me a survival check.
Okay. I've rolled a 7. Survival is a +5.
Give me a strength check.
Strength check. Okay.
He's just going to come back with a tree, isn't he?
I've got an 18, and strength is +8.
With a roll like that, the answer is yes.
I bring Deldane a tree.
Yes. The root structure is intact. There is a huge clod of dirt covering most of the roots. Mm-hmm. It's not a really big tree. At its base, the trunk is maybe about 6 inches across.
Okay.
Well, that sure is a pretty big stick.
Yep.
Okay. Will you stick the top of it in that entrance, please?
Okay. So I try to do that.
Congratulations, you have reverse planted a tree.
Okay, nothing happens.
The tree regrets its life choices.
Oh.
Okay. All right, go ahead and take it out.
Okay. Go take it out. Thank you. What am I supposed to do with it now?
Put it somewhere.
He's thinking about putting it back right there.
Don't put
somewhere
it back
here,
in the
or okay, I'll go put it back where I pulled it out of. I go take it back to wherever that is.
Okay, you
Boulder.
Correct.
I replanted the tree.
Take nothing but photos. Leave nothing but footprints.
Put the tree back.
I figure if it's a really old critter that's just sitting there waiting for things to walk into its mouth, we ought to know ahead of time if it's going to bite.
You walk through the cave entrance and you discover that it's actually that thing from the asteroid in Empire Strikes Back.
Oh.
See, that's exactly what I was afraid of.
And by that I mean it's a shriveled, small green Muppet. That sounds incredibly like Grover.
Well, I guess we should take a look inside.
Yeah, we probably should.
Zeele starts marching towards the entrance.
And I'm following Zeele.
Okay. You encounter a band of dwarves that are all coming home from work, singing a merry little tune.
that was Colonel Bogey, not I-Ho.
I know. I am aware.
Okay.
So you go in the entrance, and the inside looks very much like you would expect a hole in the ground to look. And as you are kobolds, you've got pretty good expectations about what holes in the ground look like. Tunnel goes on for not very far before it opens up into a larger chamber. And that larger chamber, there's more evidence that this is artificial in nature and not a natural cave, because while there's still a ton of roots and stuff coming in from above, and there's various vines, and there's all kinds of like dead leaves on the ground, and possibly a few small animals that curled up and died in various locations, possibly decades ago, you do also see some signs of stonework and stone carving in here. There are also several pathways that lead off in various directions. Let's say the cardinal direction, so you came in from the south, but there's passageways to the north, east, and west as well. And considering that the room that you're in looks kind of rectangular, yeah, someone probably built this.
Okay.
I would like to make an investigation check.
Sure, go ahead.
I am looking for signs of recent passing through.
Okay.
That's a 12.
With a 12, you do find signs that things have been in here, but mostly like small things. Nothing with like draconic footprints, really, unfortunately.
Why don't you give me a hand on my investigation?
Sure.
Well, that's a 32.
Wow, that's impressive.
Wow.
Daldane is really good at investigation.
Congratulations, Daldane. You've cracked the case. it turns out the butler did it. Oddly enough, the butler was a giant ancient red dragon in disguise, which is really weird.
Tragically, everyone involved in this murder mystery has been dead for thousands.
Yes! possibly millions. So, in your investigation, you, again, don't find a lot of signs that things have been coming through here. Nothing that would be non-indigenous, anyway. However, you do, as you are moving things around to look underneath detritus and stuff, you find that the carving in here was not just, hey, let's make a bunch of stone bricks. There's, like, a lot of ornate decoration all over the place. Anywhere where the stone was protected from weathering, there's in some cases symbols, in some cases pictures, all over the place. It's possible this entire chamber was covered 100% with this stuff.
Hmm. So what does that look like to Gox? Okay.
I'm going to drag Marwise over.
Mm-hmm. So to Gox, imagine if you will that Gox was given a crayon and asked to draw stuff.
Okay.
And fill a sheet of parchment. And Gox dutifully filled the entire sheet of parchment with all kinds of stuff. Now, okay. Imagine if this exact same thing happened, but instead of a crayon on parchment, it was someone with a chisel. But that's Gox's perspective.
Okay.
So, Daldane has gone over to Marwise to drag her over. Marwise.
I am dragged over.
Okay.
Is there something you wanted help with?
No, I just want to make sure you see this. It seems like the same sort of thing you'd be into.
All right. Yeah, take a good look at it. Do I figure out anything new about it?
Give me a religion check. I know, I'm a horrible person asking the cleric to give a religion check.
22.
Okay. So, going along with the whole idea that everything in here is incredibly old, what you're seeing now, you don't see all of it. There's some spots that just there's going to be no amount of mending that can be cast on them to bring them back. But the parts you are able to decipher is probably the best word for it, based on what the pictures are, you guess, representing. It's kind of ancient history, possibly even creation myth or actual creation. You recognize some of the figures that are drawn well, not drawn, carved in place. What do you know about the primordials?
What does Marwise know?
Yes.
That was never a specific part of her study.
Okay.
Her other skill is history, so history and religion, she's got a decent chance of knowing something about it.
Okay. Well, in that case, because your backstory doesn't have you knowing too much about the primordial specifically, you recognize that with a roll of a 22, you're going to pick up some stuff that you got through osmosis from studying something else at some point, I'm sure. But you do recognize several beings that your best guess is that they're primordials because they appear to be very large, very powerful, and incredibly chaotic. But not in a from the abyss type of chaotic, more of the force of nature chaotic. And a whole bunch of beings fighting against them, which your best guess is that they are probably gods or proto-gods. None of which you recognize immediately. Actually, no, that one looks like a dragon.
A dragon with how many heads?
One.
What color is it?
It's stone.
It's not a color. Okay.
All right. So, yeah. Creation myth, a bunch of gods or pre-gods fighting chaotic forces of nature. I'm going to start taking what I can down in my book.
Okay.
Possibly even trying to recreate some of the carvings I can see.
And you've been doing this for so long, I'm not going to acquire any rules for it. I'm just going to assume that anything that isn't destroyed through the passage of time, you copy down as accurately as can be done.
All right.
Well, this is also not a single chamber structure. There are passageways to the north, east, and west if you choose to explore them.
Yes, let's keep looking.
Okay, what are we looking for? Or are we just looking?
I don't know.
Something I don't either.
Skull or kobolds.
I like how those are two different things.
Other kobolds might or might not be useful, is Zaylee's thinking.
Well, it's a fair cop.
Gux is assuming we're looking for weapons, because those would be useful.
Well,
weapons would definitely be useful.
Mm-hmm. All right, so if I remember right, we have three other chambers we can check out. One to the north, mm-hmm. one to the east, well, one to the west.
Three other passageways. Anybody have a preference?
You should split the party and investigate all of them.
No.
My first instinct is to start with the west just so that we can work clockwise, but...
Clockwise works.
Sure. I'm okay with that.
Go west, young kobold. Go west. Okay. So you go to the passageway to the west, and this passageway is... it looks like it didn't fare as well. You find... what actually looks like a very nice-looking waterfall coming in through what used to be the ceiling. And there's a lot more tree roots that are coming through here. So it looks very pretty, but this place is no longer... this is all aftermarket stuff that's been done.
I put on my cap of water breathing and stick my head under the waterfall. I'm going to look and see if there's anything behind it.
Well, most waterfalls do come with a secret cave underneath them as sort of just stock. That's you buy a waterfall, it's got a cave. It's like if you roll a drow, you are automatically given two scimitars and a pet cat. It's just what happens. But this particular waterfall, unfortunately, does not have a cave.
Must be an aftermarket waterfall.
Yeah.
The contractor is going to finish it in 2 weeks. Don't worry.
The contractor will have finished it in 2 weeks about 30,000 years ago.
I'm just thinking of the money pit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Same.
I'm also thinking of the money pit, and I'm thinking if you've got a contractor who can live for 30,000 years, you can extend that 2 weeks an awful long time.
This is also true. And considering that primordials are timeless, just saying.
All right. So this room doesn't have anything particular of note. Shall we return to the main chamber and take a 5-minute break before we go into the next room?
Okay. I'll just hang out here for 5 minutes. Oh, wait. You mean actually take a break in the podcast?
Well, we've been playing for about an hour.
Oh, wow.
46 minutes, 18 seconds, 19 seconds, 20 seconds. Never mind. Sure. I'll press some buttons. We'll be back in 5.
All right.
Okay, we're back, and we have a GIF in chat of Daldane playing the DOS lute, and it's glorious. And where we left off, you were about to go into the Northern Chamber. So, yes. Go into the Northern Chamber. This is an incredibly long hallway. No, wait. No, it's not a hallway. It feels like it should be because of its length, but it's wide enough that it is more likely supposed to be a room. And what's your range on dark vision?
60.
That depends on whether I set something on fire at the other end.
Yeah, so, that's true.
This is also true. As you have not set anything on fire yet, you cannot see the other end of this particular chamber. However, there are carved figures on the walls on either side because it is not 60 feet wide. Just more than 60 feet long. And your best guess is that the beings on either side are supposed to be, if they're not deities, they're meant to be very powerful individuals, and they all seem to be focused at something further down the chamber.
Let's keep going.
All right. I'll follow Zili's lead.
Mm-hmm. Let's find out what they're looking at.
Yeah, that's probably the best course of action. There's always the option of me casting light on a rock and having Gox throw it.
Now
I can do that. I can hit it with my axe and maybe hit it farther, too. But I don't know what it's going to hit on the other end.
So as you continue down through this room, you notice that a lot of the beings, again, possibly deities, possibly just really powerful mortals or whatever, a lot of them have their arms raised up. And I'm not going to require a roll for this because you all have high enough bonuses in various areas. Okay, Gox doesn't for this.
Mm-hmm.
But they all appear to be casting something.
On the one hand, Gox doesn't have a high enough bonus. On the other hand, we have Marwise with us. And I know academics. An academic archaeologist would be going through this saying, look how they all have their hands raised. They're casting.
Gox would immediately wonder where the fishing poles are.
Yeah. I don't know. They're not going to get any fish that way. But they probably have to go back by the waterfall to find the fish. I don't know why they're doing that here.
I've fished with spells.
Oh.
True. That is true. That's a really early episode. Okay. Now, as you continue down the hallway, you do... as you get really close to the end, Archbeth in chat is saying summon bigger fish. Yeah. But before you cast that, you do need the material component of bigger boat. You're going to need it. Thank you. I'm here all week. Actually, all week I will be at my school because it's the last week before kids come in. And my room is not ready. Yeah. I didn't leave my school until 7 p.m. And it was one heck of a commute home. But never mind about that. So towards the end of this hallway where you start to make out what would probably be an altar if this was in fact a place of worship. The DM is not committing to anything at the moment. You know, we didn't really stop to talk about this too much. Marwise... You're a cleric.
Yeah.
A cleric of who?
I can't get the name right. Let's see, where did I write it down? It's like Ogdrin, God of Knowledge.
Okay. Well, what's the religious iconography? If you don't know, make it up. It's an unofficial campaign.
think it's whatever happens was an actual book.
Okay. Well, basically, you're fairly certain that one of the figures closer to the end of this room is the deity that you yourself worship.
Oh.
And up until this exact moment, you were fairly certain that you were the only person who worshipped your deity on this planet, since you're not actually from here.
Indeed I was. I thought I imported that belief from a place kobolds came from. So yeah, Marwise would definitely take interest in that.
Is Marwise mentioning this?
I don't think I'd be able to shut up about it unless I start worrying for my life.
Okay, Zili's going to start looking for any sign of Bahamut or Tiamat.
Okay.
Oh, Gox can help you try to find Bahamut. He knows what that one looks like.
You find both of them.
Both?
They are next to each other, both facing the other end of the room.
Wow.
How close? We're still more than 60 feet out?
Oh, no. I'm just pointing out things that are closer to you before I point out what's at the other end of the room.
Uh-oh.
These things would have come into focus for you long before the other end, and I assume that as you approach them, yeah, you can see the other end now, but do you really want to focus on what's down there or focus on the fact that you see Tiamat and Bahamut joining forces to fight a bigger evil?
Seeley uses prestidigitation to clean the dust off of the Bahamut statue.
All right.
Carving.
Technically, it's a bas relief, but sure. The statue gives you a thumbs up. No, it doesn't.
Oh, no. Wow.
It does not. That is not canon. That does not happen.
Okay, okay.
Not system? Every sculpture is going to come to life and do something when you encounter it.
Right,
I really
right.
only did that to you a few times.
Yeah, sometimes we have to sing a song first.
Yeah.
That's true, that's true.
The last time that happened, you did in fact have to sing a song. And I wasn't planning on making them come to life, but you made it much more fun to do that than to not do it.
So what is at the end of the chamber?
You see a bunch of sorry-looking primordial bas-relief sculptures. Sorry-looking as in they seem to be being driven back or down or out. It depends on how you interpret this. There's a lot of metaphor and simile going on here. And as you all know, a metaphor is like a simile.
It's true. And I never metaphor I didn't like.
Got to watch out for seven, though. Seven's scary.
Yep.
Now, these primordials that are being beaten back, there seems to... As you are aware, anytime you have a raid, there needs to be a main tank. And in this particular case, there is a main tank. There is a being that is at the front lines that literally all of these deities that you've walked past are facing and possibly channeling their energies into or past. Or they're all working in concert. Perhaps if a local guide was here to explain it to you, then you'd be able to figure it all out. Unfortunately, you are possibly five eons a bit too late. Just a little bit. It is obviously a very large being because as you look at it, its scale is on par with or maybe slightly larger than the primordials that it is tanking. It has a very prominent chin. It looks lizard-like, although it has a carapace on its back.
Oh,
it's got
no!
Giant horns.
Oh,
sticking
no!
out of the top of its head and curving forward.
Oh, no! Not again!
Gox is confused. What is it?
I didn't say that in character. That's
okay.
The player.
Then never mind.
Zili doesn't know. Zili doesn't know what Eo knows.
Oh, okay. Then never mind.
By the way, this creature, this tank, is not, in fact, being held aloft by a hot air balloon.
Oh, no. Okay.
But I appreciate that we're just seeing that particular emoji spammed in chat over and over and over again.
So wait a minute. To make sure I'm understanding correctly, the this is what the gods are supporting in order to beat back the primordials.
Possibly.
Okay.
You'll probably have to go to the next room over to find the academic translation, similar to how if you're reading any play by Shakespeare.
Gotcha. East is the Cliff's Notes room.
Maybe.
Okay. Well, let's go east.
Okay. Gox waves at Bahamut on the way past.
It does not, in fact, wave back.
That's okay.
I just love the imagery in chat. So many Tarrasque gifs. All right, so the chamber to the east is nowhere near as large as the one you just came out of. It's fairly small. It has three walls that don't have the entrance in them. And on one of them, you see this strange creature that was tanking in the previous chamber. Basically standing victorious over a large number of foes. Some of them you can't identify. Actually, most of them you can't identify. There's no primordial representations here. So apparently it didn't stop with the primordials. On the next wall over, you see a sphere with another sphere apparently going through the first one. The sphere going through the larger sphere is noticeably smaller, but it's going right on through.
Sort of like the asteroid that created both continents?
Possibly.
That's what I was thinking.
And on the last of the walls that doesn't have an entrance carved into it, you see several of the various deities. Not all the ones that were depicted in the first room, because let's face it, that room was incredibly large because it needed to be to put all the deities in there. But you see multiple incarnations of deities that appear to be walking away from this ruined version of Circulus, with Tiamat and Bahamut staying behind.
Oh. I see.
Or maybe staying behind. They're definitely at the rear end of this procession, and they're both looking back at Circulus.
Well, Bahamut is on. He's been on Circulus. I mean, we know that.
Yeah.
He might still be here or there, or I'm not sure if.
And
I'm not sure where we are compared to where we came from. Yeah.
Tiamat was known on Circulus. We know that from the underwater temple.
And everyone used to think there were no dragons.
Right.
Did that empire kill all the dragons?
Huh.
It's possible, but that's something we'd have to look into.
This doesn't help. This doesn't help us. Or if it does, I don't know how it helps us. Let's go.
Okay. What if the big thing that fell on the planet killed the dragons? Like, were the dragons here first and then all this? Or was this built after? I'm not really good at figuring that out.
Based off of how many gods were fighting that one thing, I doubt much of anything on our scale, so to speak, could have existed till after that battle.
But at least you know, the players, not the characters, the players know that you don't have to worry about the Tarrasque because they dropped a moon on it.
Oh.
This is the DM saying, don't worry, you'll be fine.
Okay.
For some reason, I've never been able to... Yeah, for some reason, anytime a DM says that, no one believes them. It's like saying, don't worry, there's no poison in this food I've made for you. But, well, I wasn't thinking about that before.
I'm always thinking about that.
Don't worry, there are no dragons on Circulus.
Right, yes.
I promise this meal is gluten-free.
There is no war in Ba Sing Se.
You've got your inspiration back. Oh, yes. Yes, definitely that.
My favorite example of that is the classic example of canned tuna fish, where one company, the story is that one company only could Only got shipments of white flesh tuna. And so in order to compete against the standard pink flesh tuna, their advertising slogan was "Won't turn pink in the can."
Oh no.
And the other company, after a moment's thought, responded with "Never bleached."
Oh no.
That's technically both accurate.
Yeah, both, still. Yep.
And both deception checks rolled at advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. All right. So as you're walking out of this chamber to the east, now I believe we previously established that in the absence of his brother, Gox has the highest passive perception.
Yes.
You hear right. A couple pebbles fall.
I look up. What do I see?
You see a ceiling.
I see a ceiling? Do I need to roll a perception check here or no?
Well, you didn't hear them fall from above.
Oh, okay. Where are they? Okay, I look around to see where these pebbles fell from, if I can determine that.
They fell in the room you just came from. You're back in the entrance chamber, where if you go south, you'll be back out in the forest. You heard the pebbles fall after you left the other room, but you heard them in the other room. The ostensibly empty room.
Okay, so I'm going to tell everybody, wait. Something like little tiny rocks just fell in that room we left. But like, we're all out here, so something's in there.
Rocks fell, but no one has died.
They were little rocks.
I'm going back to look.
I'm following.
You see an empty room with a lot of carvings on the walls.
Okay, which one of you statues drops some little pebbles?
Who's in here?
Perception checks.
Okay. I've rolled. I actually hit the rest of my dice. Let's try that again. That hit nothing.
20, not natural.
Yeah, oh, with a dirty 20. 19, in fact. 19 plus 1. Zili picks up on it almost immediately. So the image of this giant creature standing victorious over all who have opposed it isn't on that wall anymore. It's on the same wall as the doorway.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no!
Well, now we know which one dropped pebbles.
Facing the door.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is Gox passive perception of
banishment!
15?
I cast banishment on the
wait.
Thing.
No, you're right. It is a 15. It is a 15.
What does...
So that ties mine, then.
Okay.
Okay, so you cast banishment on the wall.
I cast banishment on that particular carving. If it's not a creature, it shouldn't work.
Okay. But if it was, hypothetically, a creature, it would
have to make a DC 18 charisma save.
Well, congratulations. Let me read something here. No, yeah. Congratulations. You have successfully banished the Tarrasque. You win the game.
Wow.
Or rather, there is no more iconography of a Tarrasque. Not that Zillian knows what a Tarrasque is in this room.
Zillian knows that it was big and all these gods maybe made it together with all their power combined, and then it started moving.
So far as you know, it was Captain Planet.
I want to be absolutely clear that this is not my fault in any way whatsoever.
How long does banishment go for?
It goes for concentration up to 1 minute, unless the creature wasn't native to this plane.
All right. Gox.
Uh-huh.
You hear more pebbles. Not from this room.
There's more. Which way? I'm like looking around trying to figure
not
out where the pebbles
room.
Come
you
from.
Got to go
not
the
in
door.
This room? Okay. There's I'm pebbles not... outside the door, and something's there, and I'm going to go see.
Zaylee follows.
Okay. You go out into the entrance chamber, so to speak. And at this point, I'm not going to require an additional roll because, let's face it, you're a bit on edge. You've already managed to banish part of a wall. Something's not right.
Something's not right. If you have to banish the wall, something's bad.
This room, there's not a whole lot of carvings remaining. It got hit pretty hard by the elements. But this creature happens to be on one of the walls in this chamber also. It made it almost to the doorway that you just came through.
Maybe it talks. Well, probably not. But it can't hurt to ask, what are you and what do you want?
There is no response. It doesn't move.
Okay.
May I suggest, don't blink.
Everybody except Zeely, back through the door into the main chamber.
You are in the main chamber right
We're
now.
We're in the main chamber.
Oh.
Zeely banished the thing on the wall, and then you heard sound coming from the main chamber.
I thought we went to the west room.
No. Oh.
No, the west room has a waterfall in it.
Okay. So everybody except Zeely... I can't believe what I'm about to say.
The DM is here.
Everybody except Zeely, back up through the throat.
Back up through the what?
The what?
The throat. What we came through to get down to this room.
Oh.
The entrance.
Okay. The entrance
You're passage, saying yes. I'm in the mouth of something again.
There was no teleportation or dimension door, though.
Yeah.
Zeely?
Yes.
Back through the... When we're all through, back through the entryway and then mold earth so that the chamber is closed.
That's what I thought you'd say.
Okay, so as you're backing up, whatever this thing is on the wall realizes that its cover's blown, so it pops off the wall.
Uh-oh.
Now, it is... Now, remember, these are all bas-reliefs, so it's low-relief sculpture. So as it pops off the wall, you notice that it's still... just as thick as a low-relief sculpture. It is incredibly thin if you're looking at it head-on. It only seems to have a lot of form to it if you're looking at it from the side.
This is the weirdest fight I've been in, and I'm counting the time with all the mimics.
It's been a few times with mimics.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm counting the house mimics.
Oh, okay. So,
And it charges. What? You're going to have to roll for initiative.
All right, I'm ready to smash it with my battle axe. Let's see if I get a good enough roll. I've rolled a 16, and initiative is plus 2.
Don't forget you have advantage.
I do. Let's try that again and see what happens. The next one's a 14, so I have 16 plus 2, so that's 18.
Yep.
Okay.
I got a dirty 20. I got a dirty 20.
20 for Marwise, 14 for Zeely, and 12... Or Daldane.
So I was in a rush when I was writing out my initiative table, so I only numbered every other line. But that still works because we've got Marwise at 20, Gox at 18, Zeely at 14, and Daldane at 12.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Now watch. I'm going to roll for this thing, and I'm going to get a 16, and you'll all be in a nice, neat every other initiative roll.
I vote that it gets a 10.
That's a 14 on the die.
Oh.
What's it?
And it's got a minus 4.
No, it does not. Sadly, it has a 0 for its dex modifier.
It and I are going on the same round turn.
That would be interesting.
Okay. So, Marwise, an Atkins diet result to Rask is attacking. What would you like to do?
First step, blade of barriers. Between it and us. Closer to it than us, so hopefully, yeah.
Okay.
Either way, it's going to have to charge through it to get to us.
That's a viable strategy. However, now Gox is on the wrong side of the blade barrier if Gox wants to cut its head off.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Gox has can hold his action.
He can. He also has a ring of jumping, but I don't remember how high. If he can get over it or something or clear it far enough.
My first thought is this wall of blades goes from floor to ceiling.
Oh, okay. So you can't jump over it then. All right.
It goes up to 20 feet high. So, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I don't remember how high this is.
I never told you.
Yeah, I don't know. And it doesn't say on the thing.
It's hitting the ceiling. Little bits of root and leaf and spiderweb are raining down as the spinning blades are basically mulching whatever encounters them.
Okay. Is there a hole big enough I could throw a javelin at it? I don't know what else to do.
Technically speaking, yes, but the holes are in various locations from millisecond to millisecond. And I don't believe that's all of Marwise's turn yet.
Oh, sorry.
Nope, I am going to recommend to Gox that he just get up there and wait for the creature to get in range and attack then. Okay. And so just need to figure out what level I want to cast this at. Go ahead and do fourth level. Spiritual weapon bonus action. I'm actually getting a real high bonus on the swing for this too. So, does an 18 hit it?
An 18 hits.
12 damage.
Noted. Gox, it is now your turn. Marwise is having all the fun with a spiritual weapon on the other side of a barrier made of blades.
Right, so I'm kind of stuck here, so I'm going to like move a step closer maybe to the blade barrier because I know it's safe on our side of it, right? And
it's not a qualifier. It's are you occupying the same space?
No, I just want to be like... I want to be in front of the rest of the kobolds, but not like really up into the thing so that if that thing comes through, I can be the first one to attack it or engage with it. And I'm going to like stand there with my battle axe and try to look intimidating because I can't do anything right now. I don't know.
Okay. So, yeah, hold your action until.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Zeely.
Yes.
What would you like to do?
I would like to resolve the problem involving Gox and the blade barrier by stepping forwards, putting a hand on Gox's shoulder, and quicken dimension dooring us both on the other side of the blade barrier.
All right. Congratulations.
Okay.
You bypassed the frying pan altogether. You just went right into the fire, which I suppose for Zeely is apt.
The
two kobolds that have resistance to fire damage have gone right into the fire.
Yes.
Metaphorical fire, but still.
Mm-hmm. All right, so how long can I take my action now, or how does that
you
work?
You were holding your action, so yes.
Right, okay.
Well, I would argue that Zeely finishes off what Zeely wants to do for this turn, because...
Sure.
That was a quickened spell, which implies there's more to come.
Yes. Zeely is going to... Zeely is going to cast Firebolt.
Okay.
I am assuming I dropped Gox off fairly close, so I hopefully have pack tactics.
I would think so, if you had your hand on his shoulder,
I'm willing to argue that you dropped Gox off within chomping distance.
This may mean that I am also in chomping distance, but, you know.
Well, that is exactly what I meant by chomping distance. I mean, neither of you is probably going to bite down on this.
So
we were talking about flatbread earlier.
Assuming that it does not cast shield and make its AC 25 somehow.
It's quite possible that you have in fact hit it with a firebolt.
Excellent.
It's also quite possible that it is not resistant to firebolts.
And unless it's immune, anything I hit with fire damage takes full damage because I ignore fire resistance. Anyway, 20 points of fire damage.
Okay. It begins to glow in a way that you've seen before, usually when you hit rock with fire so that it gets really, really hot. And considering none of you brought light sources with you, you can see it glowing in the dark.
Bring it, distraction.
For the record, that is Zeely talking, not Io talking to the dog that's barking in the background.
Correct. Zeely is talking to the worst Tarrasque ever.
Admittedly, much easier to target. With a lot less spell reflection.
Yes.
Okay. Now,
exactly.
This thing has a turn to go at the same time Zeely is going, but since Gox has been holding his turn holding his action.
Right.
I will allow him to go before the Tarrasque sculpture goes.
Okay, so I'm going to try to hit it with my battle axe and hope that it chatters.
Alrighty.
I've got a 13 on the dice.
13 with your bonuses will hit.
Okay. Here we go. Okay, the dice has a 15 to hit.
Well, no, you are...
I have already done that. Okay, yeah. So...
Well, you have Pack Tactics, but Zili's right there, so rolling twice is fine. Both of those rolls would hit, but neither one's a crit. So
okay, that's
rolling
fine.
Damage. A D10
okay,
and
so
a D6.
A D10 and a D6. All right.
Yes,
D10 is an 8 plus something. Plus 4? Or no, is it plus 7 now?
I believe it's plus 7. Both attacks are a plus 7 for different reasons.
Okay, both attacks are plus 7, so it is an 8 on the dice, plus 7. This is where I get lost.
Let me look this up to make sure I'm saying the right thing. So I remember a plus 7 showed up more than once. Actually,
yeah. Did it?
For hitting with a battle axe, you actually add 9, according to your character sheet.
Okay,
Now, when you are dealing damage, it's plus 9 now because you leveled up from last time. That's why I got it. Used to be plus 7 for both. Your damage would normally be plus 4. However, you are raging.
Am I?
Oh, actually, no. No, you didn't declare you were raging. You said
I didn't declare that yet. Yeah.
So you're not doing the D6 because you only do the radiant damage if you're raging.
Okay.
So you go ahead and give it a swing with your battle axe. You rolled, what was the number on the die?
The number on the die is an 8.
Okay. So you add 4 because that would be your normal bonus to damage. So you're going to do 12 points of damage.
Okay.
You hit it
really
hard.
Do I get a second hit?
You will get a second attack, sure.
Okay.
Because you get 2 attacks per turn, whether or not you're raging. And I will say that from this first hit, when you smack it, little bits of rock fly off, and they appear to be like small carved stone tiles. So you're breaking it into pieces along the perforated edges.
Okay, it sounds good. So now I'd like to rage. Because I think it's going to be harder than I thought.
I think that we established this last time. Gox rages over the thought that Gox forgot to rage.
Yes. I forgot. I was mad. Yeah. Okay. So I roll again to hit.
Yep. And roll twice because you have pack tactics.
Okay. Well, that first one was a 5. So I'm going to roll a second time. And that is a 19 on the dice.
Okay. Well, the 19 will definitely hit.
Okay. So now I roll a D10. Yes.
Fun fact, the 5 would have also hit because you have a plus 9 and this thing has an AC of 14.
Oh, well, whatever. it's going to hit.
I wanted you to roll twice in either case because what if you got a nat 20 on the second roll?
Could be, yeah. All right, so I roll a D10 and that hits something. Okay, that is... It's another 8.
Okay.
I think, yeah.
And now we're looking at rage damage. When you are... raging, you do an additional plus 4 damage with melee weapons.
Okay.
So you're doing 8 points of damage plus an additional 8 points of damage because you normally have a plus 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're a high level barbarian.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Now, do I get radiant damage because I am raging or is that?
Yes.
Not?
Now
I
you
do.
Get to roll
okay.
a d6.
Okay.
And what's the bonus for that?
I've rolled a 2.
Well, you're rolling damage, not to hit, so that's still fine. And again, you are doing plus 8 damage, according to your character sheet. So you rolled a 2.
Do you get the radiant damage?
I think this is the radiant
this
damage.
This is the radiant damage, yes.
So I've done how much damage?
Over 20.
Okay.
I've been marking down the points as everyone does them, so if you ask me how much did this person do, I can no longer tell.
That's fine.
It's all half
it's
marks.
Something. It's good. Okay. Okay. So I think my turn is done.
Yes. And now it's this thing's turn.
Mm-hmm.
And it is going to do a multi-attack.
All right, then.
The first thing it's going to do is breathe fire.
Okay. I can see Zili laughing at that.
Zili's absolutely laughing.
Mm-hmm.
You call this fire?
It breathes fire in a really thin cone.
Yes. And yes, I am aware that breathing fire is not a Tarrasque ability. It's this thing's ability. That's different. This is not a Tarrasque. It's just shaped like one. So that's a DC 15 dexterity saving throw for, this is a 15-foot cone. I'm going to be nice and say that Duldane and Marwise are out of range.
Okay, so...
So just Gox and Z. Just the characters that are resistant to fire damage.
I have rolled an 18.
All right, so yeah, you save.
I cast Absorb Elements.
Okay. That is 31 fire damage on failed saves. But Gox, you're going to take 15 points of fire damage with your successful save. Actually, okay. No. No, you're not.
No?
No, because you are wearing armor made from right. Red Dragon Scales.
Yep, that's why I have the fire resistance.
Which gives you resistance. So you made your save and your resistance, so you take half of 15, rounded down, you take 7 points.
Okay, 7 points.
Sally takes 15 because she casts Absorb Elements.
Okay. Man, this thing really hopes that it's resistant to fire damage. It may or may not be. But that was its first attack.
Okay.
It is also... in addition to breathing fire, it is going to try to headbutt Gox.
Okay. No one's tried that because before.
And give Gox a paper cut.
You know, if I were it, I'd be more concerned about giving Gox easy access to my head.
Yep.
Well, yeah. It's... up for debate, who has the harder head, Gox or the being made of stone?
Right.
And for the record, that's a 22 that I rolled.
Okay. Well, Gox's armor class is 17, if that's how we're doing it.
Yeah. Gox mm-hmm. is going to take 10 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh, okay.
From the head.
I can do that.
It also takes one of its very thin legs and claws out at Zeely. And that, with its bonus to hit, is a 9.
So does it hit?
No.
I am fairly certain that certain deities, if attacking Zeely, might still miss.
Yeah. A fair cop.
And that's even without the...
cast shield. I can't cast shield right now because I cast Absorb Elements. But my AC is still 14 and not 9.
So, Duldane.
The blade barrier is still up, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I can't... Can I see through the blade barrier?
I would argue yes.
It's a bunch of spinning swords, so...
Okay.
Your visibility is hindered. I don't recommend that you go faster than 45 miles per hour.
This is a question... This is
don't
a question
your headlights.
Based entirely on the fact that I wasn't here for part of this combat. What has been done to this so far?
It's been hit with fire.
And a battle axe.
And a battle axe.
And a spiritual weapon.
And it took damage each time.
Mm-hmm. And it took radiant damage, too, from Gox. So.
Okay.
And I have no idea if it's resistant to fire damage, because nothing Zeely hits with fire damage is resistant to fire damage. Because Zeely's irresistible that way.
Come,
then I'll just say one word.
Zeely's warm, glowing, warming glow.
Yes.
That's if Zeely casts Investiture of Flames. I keep cutting off Ellie when she's trying to say what Daldane's doing, and I apologize.
It's okay. Daldane just says one word. Stun.
Is this a psychic-based attack?
No.
What does it do exactly?
If the target has 150 hit points or fewer, it is stunned. Otherwise, the spell has no effect.
There are too many conditions, and I've got to look something up. See, I didn't know if this was the conditioner that added volume or if it was the one that added manageability.
That is, you know, I sympathize.
And did I want the one that smelled like coconut or autumn mist? I don't know. I just buy whatever VO5 is cheapest. Okay. Yeah, it's stunned.
All right.
All right. At the end of each of its turns, it gets to make a constitution saving throw to end the stunning effect.
Okay. Good news. This thing has stopped fighting back. Bad news. This is the end of the round. And therefore, that means 6 seconds has passed.
Zero. Also, I'm going to...
Go on.
Give bardic inspiration to Gox.
Awesome. Remind me again what that does. It's extra points, but I don't remember how many.
It's 1d12 that you can add it to... It's 1d12 that you can add to any ability check, attack roll, or saving.
Okay.
So in this case, if you don't roll high enough, then roll the d12.
Try that one. Yeah. Okay.
And add that to the highest of your rolls.
Okay.
So, Zeely, before combat started, you did something that was very advantageous to the group. You banished a being that was trying to ambush you.
Yes.
And and then you went to another room and you started backing up slowly. Now, because you weren't in combat, time had not slowed down.
Yep.
So at the end of this round, whether or not you're concentrating on keeping this thing banished, it's been a minute. That's all.
Do I feel a thing come back?
You are no longer able to concentrate on keeping it away. That's what you know.
Well, I'm assuming it probably came back then. We'll see.
That's often a safe assumption to make. Only in this pocket dimension, it just put its thumb in its mouth and blew really hard, and now it's a 3D Tarrasque.
But still a stone statue.
Yes, but this time it put on scuba gear. I love in-jokes. In-jokes are fun. All right. So, top of the initiative order, Marwise. Your blade barrier is doing just fine. You've got your spiritual weapon still up. What would you like to do now?
All right. No one on my side's taken any real damage yet.
No one on your side can be reached without lots of pointy things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then Zeely dimensioned door two of them onto the other side.
Right.
So the creature didn't run through the barrier like I was hoping.
Well, either they had to dimension door to the other side or they had to break on through to the other side. They decided to not violate a copyright.
So first thing, I'm going to have my spiritual weapon take another swing at the thing. And I get pack tactics for this, don't I?
You do. A 14 will hit, but go ahead and roll again because you might get a nat 20. So close! 18 plus 10. But you hit either way.
Do 15 points of damage that time.
Okie doke. And that was a bonus action.
Still can't cast Holy Aura.
By the way, nobody needs pack tactics to attack the one because you have advantage on attack roll because it's stunned.
And there's no such thing as double advantage.
Unless you spend inspiration.
This is true.
Or have the lucky feet.
And roll a one.
No, that's the halfling luck.
Ah.
I guess I'll cast Bless as a fifth level spell. So now on any attack rolls or saving throws, everyone gets to add a d4.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Nice.
It's just adding up here.
This thing has, like, the lowest AC of any creature you fought in the past, like, month and a half. And you're just like, well, everyone gets a bonus. You get a bonus. And you get a bonus for him. Everyone, check under your seats. Yep. There's an additional plus four. Also, bees.
Oh, I'm good.
The saving throws, since these guys can fire.
Well, yeah, this is true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gox.
Okay, I'm going to hit him again.
All right, roll 2d20.
That one's a 12.
That's going to be a hit. Roll again.
And 11.
Okay, so no nat 20, but go ahead and roll your d10 and d6.
D10 is a 4.
Okay, so that's going to be 12 points of damage.
And d6 is a 5.
All right, and that's going to be 13 points of damage.
Okay, and then I'm going to hit him again.
This thing is on the ropes. You might be able to smash it with this attack.
Okay, I'm going to kind of aim for where I think the statue's head is, even though it's kind of flat, you know, because That's how you know it's dead.
You're going to use the axe as a giant paper cutter.
Yes. All right, I've rolled a 5 this time. Should I roll again?
With
or
a
no?
plus 9 to hit.
It doesn't that's matter. Be yeah. a hit.
But go ahead and roll the
okay.
You still get advantage, though.
Yes, because okay. You're rolling an advantage. You might get a d20. Well,
okay,
an extra 20.
So got an 11 the second time on the.
All right. Well, go ahead. And, yep. So go ahead and roll
okay.
a d10. No radiant
it's
damage because it's your second attack.
A 6.
All right. So that's actually going to be 14 points of damage.
Okay. That's all I got.
I am not. I am just not going to ask how you do this.
I'm going to attempt to cut the head off the flat statue.
All right. So Ting. You connect with the base of the neck. And for a brief, glorious moment, this thing's head sails right off. And it arcs in this glorious fashion, trailing a few stone tiles as if they were petrified particles of blood. And it's sort of going towards the very large wall made of spinning cutlery.
Oh.
Oh, no.
That apparently are capable of slicing through a tin can, but still cutting a tomato.
Does it blend?
You unfortunately don't know, because before the head can hit the blade barrier, it just disintegrates into a bunch of tiles and scatters on the floor, as does the body. Now that you've done lethal damage to it, it has returned to its component parts, which was a bunch of stone tiles.
All right, that one's done.
Okay.
One of these days, we're going to encounter a Dullahan, and Gox is just not going to know what to do.
I don't know what that is.
It's from Celtic mythology. It's a type of fairy that looks like a woman, rides around a horse. Its head is not connected to its body most of the time.
Oh, so, wow. Oh.
It is on my to-do list to have you fight something that doesn't die when you cut the head off.
Interesting. Okay.
Just for Gox's benefit or torture.
Right.
And Ellie's posted a gif of a Dullahan from an anime.
Wow. Okay.
So that's a thing that exists. All right.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Zeely.
Yes?
Got a question for you.
What's the question?
And take your time for this, but I just want to know if 25 hits.
Yeah, that's going to hit, because once again, I am not that fighter wizard from that one shot.
Can I see the creature attacking?
It just shoots out of the other room to the east like a bullet and just makes a beeline for Zelia, because it knows who banished it.
Okay, but can I see it?
Yes, you can.
Does a 14 hit?
A 14 does hit it.
You rolled a D12.
Does a 14 hit Zelia?
Oh, cutting words!
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So you manage to have Zelia avoid a bite. Instead, it tries to smack her upside the head with its head. Because it has a multi-attack. You can do 3 attacks per turn. And
oh, wow.
My die is flashing because that's a nat 20.
Oh, no.
That's going to be 2d12 plus 4. 25. Ooh. Bludgeoning.
Wow.
Maybe I should have let it hit.
The first one, yeah. Average damage for a bite attack is 11 points. Although, for the headbutt, the average damage is 10. So that was... Crits do more. You know what? Looking at this, was the safer bet to let through, because this was 1d12. The bite attack is 2d6. So on average, it's going to do more.
Oh, yeah.
And it also tries to rake Zili with its claws. The leaves are right there. It's ignoring them. It chooses to rake the kobold. And that right there, let me tell you, that right there is a roll. That's a mighty 2. Which it has plus 7 to hit, so technically it's a mighty 9. And now I've added the requisite critical roll reference for tonight's episode. But that's still not going to hit. So one really good hit and 2 floundering blows, in part thanks to the bard. So Zili, it's technically your turn too.
Don't attack bites.
I don't have time for you. And Zili casts... Zili casts a fourth level chromatic orb, doing fire damage. I assume since Zili hasn't moved, and I don't think Gox has moved to get at Zili...
Nope. Yep, you still got pack tactics.
18.
Yeah. Yeah, that grazes it. Grazes it right upside the head.
I turn ones into twos with fire damage, so that's 33 points of fire damage.
Okay. It no longer has horns, just little stubs that are glowing red hot. Anything else?
Yeah, sure. Quickened firebolt.
One good turn deserves another.
Yeah.
One good burn deserves another.
28 to hit.
It casts shield, which does absolutely nothing. Because one, it doesn't have the ability to cast shield. And on the other hand, that's a 28. We've already established its AC is 14. You hit it a lot.
Specifically for 3d10 plus 4 fire damage. I turn ones into twos. So that's another 20 points of fire damage.
Bada boom. Okay, so that's over 50 points of damage in one turn from the Kobold Sorcerer with a grudge.
Wow. See, this is why Gox thinks Zili is the scariest one of them.
You are all scary for different reasons.
Right.
You all have valuable attributes. You are all valid.
Daldane is what you hear before you die.
This is true.
Zili is what you hear before everything's on fire.
Right, but see, Gox can see the fire. He can't necessarily see Daldane's doing.
Zili is what you hear while you are actively dying in the fire.
Yeah. Usually laughter.
And Gox is who makes sure you're dead.
Yep. Absolutely.
I guess Marwise provides last rites.
That could work.
And blending.
And blending, yes.
Yes.
Corpse
Sometimes
removal
she combines
service.
Those.
So, Daldane, what would you like to do? You and Marwise are hanging out on one side of a blade barrier and having a grand old time.
It's true. So this critter that attacked Zili is still there?
Yes. Well, the second one is. The first one is a scattering of tiles that never actually managed to live long enough to try to save versus the stun.
And there's nothing else attacking us right now?
Currently, no.
Mm-hmm. Is it close enough to Zili that I get pack tactics?
Yep. It just headbutted her and clawed her.
It's pretty close.
Yes.
Okay. Then my good old friend Bigby's going to lend a hand.
However, you cannot grab the Tarrasque by the horns, considering that
those
it
are
doesn't
gone.
Have horns anymore.
Yeah.
You can
oh,
grab
no,
it by
just punching
tail.
It.
I believe you referred to this as Bigby's terrorist fist bump.
Yes. Making sure I have my numbers right. 15.
That'll hit. That'll hit.
For 17 damage.
Noted. So I think we've done a total of 70 points of damage so far, give or take.
Wow.
You're all high-level adventurers.
I know, but it's still impressive every time.
You hit hard.
Yep.
Okay. Marwise.
So Zili's the only one that's been hit so far, right?
Mm-hmm.
By this one.
This one.
Yes.
Gox has been hit.
Gox has taken...
Yeah, Gox has taken 7 points of damage.
Yeah, he's fine.
But Gox also is working on the bonus hit points that I gave everyone at the beginning of last session, I think.
Right, I was, to start with. Mm-hmm.
So
Gox took a hit more than that because it also headbutted Gox, but, you know, not enough to worry about.
Yeah, it did, but yeah.
It wasn't a crit.
I think Gox still is not below his maximum.
No. Well, a little bit below, but not much.
Oh, okay.
Just a little.
He's at worse.
Yeah.
Just but a scratch.
And the two tanks in the party are the ones actually engaged.
They haven't set a date yet. I will continue to make that joke.
All right. I'm going to cast Cure Wounds. Probably the first time I've done this campaign where it's not mass, but on a single person. So
is that... Does that require touch?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah.
Never mind.
I mean, you could stick your hand through the blade barrier or just miss the blade barrier. One of those hurts less.
First thing I'll do is I'll try just attacking with the spiritual weapon again then.
28 will hit, but go ahead and roll again because pack tactics. And I appreciate how this session, everyone remembers pack tactics. As opposed
this
to...
session, we're doing things that need it. I mean, use it.
There was one time...
speaking, that's a 20.
Yeah, but, you know, not in that. Go ahead and roll your damage.
12 damage.
It's bloodied.
Not bad for a bonus action. It's bloodied at 82 points of damage.
Actually, it was bloodied before then, but I only just now looked down at how much damage we've done.
All right, Zeely, how are you feeling? Do you think you need a heal right now?
I'm fine.
All right, in that case, I'm going to take a trick we learned when we were ambushed in a teleporter circle and cast Guardian of Faith directly on top of the creature. So it's now got to make a dex save of 18.
I have a habit of, for certain checks that I had to do today, which I didn't have to tell you what the numbers were, I kept rolling 17 on the die over and over again. So I'm anticipating rolling another 17. That is not a 17. That's an 8.
Oh.
I believe it takes 20 points of damage then?
Yep, 20 points of radiant damage.
So I'm sure you've heard the saying, if the mountain, like if Muhammad won't come to the mountain must come to Muhammad or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine, if you will, the Taras sculptures would not come to the blade barrier. So the Chipper Shredder was summoned on top of the Tarrasque. Imagine, if you will, a blender without that convenient cup to hold all the things being blended. Little bits of stone fragment of tile are flying off in every direction, bouncing off the walls, the ceiling, Gox. And that is Marwise's turn. Gox.
Okay, I'm going to try to take its head off, if I can.
One good chop deserves another.
Yeah. That rolled over something. Hold on. Okay, that is a 15.
Which will be a hit, but roll again because pack tactics.
The second one is a 7. So we go with
still
the 15.
Hits.
Still hits. Yeah, I guess it does.
Yeah, you have a plus 9 to miss. You
right.
have to
okay.
roll, I think, a 4.
Okay. All right, well, rolling for damage now. That hit something. Let me move stuff off my desk. Okay, try it again. That is a 4 on there.
Okay, plus well, that's still something. 12 points of damage because you have plus 8.
Right. Now, are we still within one round of combat or like one big combat or have I lost the rage?
Yeah, even if combat had ended and then started again, which it did not because it did not have your roll initiative. There are times I'm going to keep initiative from one combat to the next just to save time. This is not one of those times.
Okay.
But
okay.
Your rage keeps going for a certain amount of time.
Okay.
Provided you've been hitting things to renew it every so often. So even in that case, Zili was attacked immediately after the first one was killed. You're still raging.
Okay. So I get radiant damage.
Yes, you do. But don't roll.
Oh.
Because you have plus 8 to radiant damage. So you're going to do lethal damage if you roll a 1.
I rolled a 6.
So you do max damage.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, as you cut this thing's head off, the radiant damage just slowly spreads out through the tiles, and each one glows white hot from the radiant damage as this thing...
Before it ascends into the Chipper Shredder.
Yeah.
And blends Sounds off good. In all directions. Congratulations, you have solved my Tarrasque tile puzzle.
Wow.
The solution was hitting.
Yes.
And, if you're a barbarian, the solution is always hitting. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Do you already have inspiration?
I do.
Okay.
I don't know from what.
I'd give it for that.
Yeah. I do have it. Yes.
Okay. Well.
So, we have a new title for Marwise. The Sawzall.
I already gave you your inspiration back. Oh, this has been glorious. I think we're going to end it here for tonight. I am
okay.
Beat. And you beat my opponents that I threw up against you.
Yes.
But yeah. Not literally, because I don't feel that sick. Tonight, we were joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Cindy, including...
Oh, I just got that.
Thank you. I'm here all week. I think I appreciate a joke more when it's a slow burn.
Yeah.
Tonight, we were also joined by Jen, who has a blog and podcast over at bookofjen.net. Check that out if you like a variety of things, including but not limited to Diablo lore.
Yep.
Also, EO's mom writes books. You can get those at elizabeth-mccoy.com. And everyone who was playing tonight has an account over at Ellie's social network, elic.xyz. It is kind of like Twitter, but fewer Nazis. As to say, no Nazis, because they get banned.
And it's back online after a networking issue.
Yay!
All right.
And it's also a Mastodon instance, so it's compatible with, like, MMORPG dot, I forget the suffix, I think I want to say .com. Gazimov runs it, but it talks to other Mastodon instances.
Oh, right, yeah.
And tabletop.social?
Oh, indeed. Well, the last I checked,
Several, and many others.
Yeah, and many more.
Unlike tabletop.social, we haven't registration.
You cut out there, but yeah, last time I checked tabletop.social, they had closed registrations, but Alex open again. All right, and one last thing, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. You can help us keep the lights on and pay a freelance writer to write blog posts.
Yes.
Not that we know who that freelance writer
is. Oh, not at all. Who could it be?
No.
Yeah, who could it be?
Yeah.
Yes.
It is a mystery.
Yes.
Yes, the unknown blogger.
Yeah.
Similar
it is
to
not
the
a
unknown
method.
Comic from the Gong Show. Oh, the clipping. Oh my gosh, that clipped. Okay, well, thank you everyone for playing. Thank you everyone for listening. And let's do this again next week.
All right.
Yeah, all right, if we have to. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.